Welcome to Verity Wealth Report with Stephen Ting from Verity Wealth Group. Planning for your financial future means navigating challenges like market volatility, inflation, and retirement income. Verity Wealth Report is here to help by addressing common financial concerns, sharing valuable strategies, and exploring ways you can work toward your financial goals. Now let's get started with Verity Wealth Report.
Hello and welcome to the Verity Wealth Report. My name is Stephen Ting from Verity Wealth Group. If you like more information about what you hear during our show today, give us a call at 626-650-9486 or visit us online at veritywealthgroup.com. And while I'm at my website, be sure to click on our podcast page to check out our past shows and to subscribe to our program on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Amazon Music. It is good to be back. Today, we're talking about retirement planning, but through a very specific lens. This conversation is really for people who are nearing retirement age, still earning at a high level, and doing what they're supposed to be doing, which is maxing out workplace retirement plans and taking advantage of catch-up contributions. In other words, if you've ever thought, I'm saving, but I want to make sure I'm using every opportunity available to me, this episode is for you. Throughout the first part of today's show, we'll be referencing a Kiplinger article that's headlined, The 2026 Retirement Catch-up Curveball, What High Earners 50 and Older Need to Know. And helping me unpack all of this today is my co-host, Jacqueline Gladhill, who's here to represent the listener and to make sure I explain everything in plain English instead of all this industry mumbo jumbo.
I love that. And Stephen, I appreciate that assignment and happy to be here as always. I've missed you. I've missed doing this podcast. And now we're getting right back into the swing of things with the new year. And there's a lot of things going to be changing in good ways and improvements. So I'm excited to keep our listeners up to date with all of that. But I like that this episode is really speaking to people who are already engaged in their planning. You know, this isn't a start from zero conversation. It's about refining what you're already doing and understanding some newer rules that might come into play. So let's get into it and let's get into what really changes here, because there's a pretty significant shift coming, Stephen.
That's right. Beginning this year, the rules changed for anyone who earned more than $150,000 in 2025. Every dollar you allocate in catch-up contributions has to go into the Roth side, not pre-tax, the Roth side of your 401k. And this is where a lot of high earners get caught off guard. Beginning in 2026, the rules change for anyone who earned more than $150,000 in 2025. And if that applies to you, every dollar you contribute as a catch-up has to go into the Roth side of your 401k. Remember, not pre-tax anymore.
Well, and that's a pretty big curveball going in.
Exactly. For years, those catch-up contributions have been a favorite strategy because they allowed you to save more into pre-tax dollars. And for many people, that deduction made a noticeable difference on their tax return each year.
And now that upfront tax break is gone for those catch-ups. Is that correct, Stephen?
That is correct. That single change can potentially add a few thousand dollars to a 2026 tax bill if you're not prepared for it. And there's an important clarification here. This rule is based on wages from the sponsoring employer plan only. Spousal income doesn't count. Investment income doesn't count. And wages from a side hustle does not apply.
Well, that's a pretty key distinction there, because a lot of people hear an income threshold and assume it applies to everything coming into the household.
Agreed. This is very specific. But for those it does apply to, the impact can feel abrupt. Now, there is some good news. Your regular contributions up to the $24,500 limit in 2026 can still be made on a pre-tax basis.
So it's not an all or nothing situation here.
Correct. You're not losing everything. But if you are counting on those catch-up contributions to help keep your taxes in check, This is where the strategy needs to be revisited. The article notes that the IRS finalized this rule in September of 2025, and it's a tough adjustment for a lot of high earners in their 50s and early 60s.
Especially for people who are used to seeing that deduction year after year.
Right. If you've built that deduction into your expectations, a jump of a few thousand dollars in your tax bill can come as a real surprise. That's why understanding this change is important.
So for someone listening who's been making catch-up contributions for years, Stephen, this is probably the moment where they're thinking, wait, why is this changing now? A little skeptical, because it's not just a technical update. I mean, it changes how people's plans and how they have been planning.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Secure 2.0 was broadly designed to encourage more people to save for retirement. But this particular rule has a very different effect for high earners because it quietly pushes all the catch-up contributions into Roth accounts instead.
And Roth contributions come with a very different trade-off.
They do. With Roth contributions, you're paying taxes now, but qualified withdrawals later are on tax-free basis. And that can be especially appealing if you believe your tax rates will be higher in retirement. Historically, the key word there has been choice.
But wait, there's another plot twist.
Bingo. Under these new rules, high earners have reduced flexibility. If you meet the income threshold that the IRS requires that all catch-up dollars go into Roth accounts, even if you're currently in a high tax bracket and would prefer the deduction today.
Which makes it feel less like a planning decision and more like a mandate.
Precisely. And there's another layer that's easy to overlook. If your employer's plan doesn't already offer a Roth option, you could be locked out of making catch-up contributions entirely until the plan is updated.
Well, that's a big deal, Stephen, especially for people who are counting on those catch-ups during their peak earning years.
It is. Now, there is some good news here. Employers are being given a good faith compliance grace period through 2026. With full enforcement beginning in 2027, according to that article. That gives plans some flexibility to adapt.
But for the individual saver, the timeline probably feels much tighter.
That's right. From the saver's perspective, the clock is ticking. And according to the IRS and the article, 2025 was the last year for unrestricted pre-tax catch-up contributions.
Well, at this point, it's probably helpful to slow things down and clarify what isn't changing. Because with the rule updates like this, it's easy to assume limits are being reduced or opportunities are going away entirely.
Yes, an important clarification. The base contribution limits themselves are actually increasing. For 401ks, 403bs, and 457 plans, the base contribution limit rises to $24,500, which is up from $23,500 in 2025.
And those catch-up amounts are still there as well, Stephen.
They are. The article highlights that if you're age 50 or older, you can still make a catch-up contribution of $8,000. And if you're between the ages of 60 and 63, the super catch-up amount of $11,250 still applies.
So from a savings standpoint, the opportunity is still intact.
Yes, you're still eligible to contribute the full amount allowed. What's changed is the tax treatment of those catch-up dollars for high earners. Here's the bottom line. The upfront tax treatment just got pricier.
And it also notes that simple IRAs see similar limit increases, but the Roth requirement isn't as broadly applied there.
That's right. The Roth rule we've been talking about mainly applies to employer-sponsored plans like 401ks. That distinction matters, especially when people have multiple retirement vehicles in play.
And one of the takeaways here isn't that saving more is off the table. It's that how those contributions are taxed has truly shifted.
Great point. And understanding that difference is key to making informed decisions going forward.
Well, Stephen, before we keep going with today's conversation, please let our listeners know how they can schedule a complimentary consultation to ask questions or to get more information on this.
Just give us a call at 626-650-9486 or visit us online at veritywealthgroup.com. And scheduling a consultation always only takes just a few minutes. We're always happy to help work around your schedule.
Well, thanks, Stephen. This really brings us to the trade-off that people are feeling most directly, which is the difference between getting a tax break now versus waiting for benefits later.
It's a good way to put it. Yes, traditionally, catch-up contributions have come with an immediate benefit. You reduce your taxable income today, and that upfront tax savings has been a big reason people lean into catch-ups, especially in their highest earning years.
And that's what changes in 2026 for higher earners.
Oh, you've got it. Under the new rules, those individuals will have to pay taxes up front on the full amount of their income instead of getting that immediate break on catch-up contribution. That's the part that tends to hit home when people start running the numbers.
But there is a possible long-term upside.
There is. Roth catch-up contributions can be very effective. If you expect your tax rates to be higher in retirement, or if leaving a tax-free inheritance to your children is a priority. And Roth 401ks don't have required minimum distributions, or RMDs, while the money remains in the plan up until it's rolled over.
That flexibility can matter quite a bit in long-term planning.
It can. Now, there's also a practical consideration here, and that's plan availability. The article highlights a survey from the Plan Sponsor Council of America that found that 96% of 401k plans now include Roth provisions.
Which means that while most people are covered, not everyone is.
Right, you are. About 4% of those plans still don't offer a Roth option. And if you're in that group, it's important to talk with your HR department. Otherwise, you could find yourself unable to make catch-up contributions.
Yeah, and so once again, Stephen, it comes back to knowing how your specific individual plan is set up.
Good point. These rules don't exist in a vacuum, and how they affect you depends on the details of your employer's plan and your overall situation.
Absolutely. And that's why working with a financial professional or financial advisor is really crucial. So what's next, Stephen?
Well, let's keep our focus on the new year by discussing another Kipling article. This one is called, Is 2026 Your Year to Retire? After walking through contribution limits, tax treatments, and plan mechanics, it may be important to take a step back and ask bigger questions, especially for people who are getting close to pulling the trigger. Before you join the roughly 4 million Americans expected to retire in the new year, you must be sure. Retirement isn't something you want to rush into without confidence, because re-entering the workforce later on is often much harder than people expect.
Absolutely. And that's where the idea of stop and go really comes into play.
Yep. It's important to pay attention to red flags and green flags, which are those signals that tell you whether you're truly ready to move forward or whether it might make sense to pause and reassess.
And a big part of that is stress testing the plan itself.
That's right. It's not enough to have a strategy that works on paper in a perfect scenario. You need to know whether that plan can hold up during a bad market year or if inflation turns out to be higher in the future than expected.
Which is a good reminder, Stephen, that readiness isn't just about hitting a number.
Very important point. And here's something that sometimes doesn't get enough attention. Retirement readiness isn't purely financial. There is an emotional component to this decision as well.
And the transition from working life into retirement can be bigger than people even anticipate.
It can be. That's why before deciding to retire in 2026, you should see whether you can honestly say yes to a retirement readiness checklist. It's a way to step back and evaluate both the financial and non-financial sides of the decision.
Absolutely. Well, one of the first things people tend to focus on when they think about retirement readiness is the number, the $1 million question, which is truly that dollar amount that they believe they need to live comfortably.
Right. Almost everyone has the number in mind, and the article references a closely watched survey from Northwestern Mutual, which puts that so-called magic number at $1,260,000 as of 2025.
Wow. But that number isn't universal either.
It's not. For some people, that amount may be higher. For others, it could be less. What really matters is whether you've reached your target, which is the number you believe supports the lifestyle you want in retirement. And reaching that target can be a meaningful green flag.
And if you haven't reached it yet, you don't have to frame it as a failure. You can consider it more like a decision point.
Yeah, I agree there. If you're not there yet, there are options like working a little longer, transitioning into a phased retirement by reducing hours or doing part-time or consulting work. Those approaches can help close the gap without forcing an all-or-nothing decision.
But hitting that number doesn't always automatically mean that you're in the clear either.
Correct again. Reaching your savings target is important, but here's the next question. Can your portfolio withstand a market correction?
Ooh, I mean, that's a tough question because no one really knows what the market will do next.
They do not. And while the article doesn't predict a downturn in 2026, it does note that the markets have been on a bull run for several years. And historically, periods of growth don't last forever.
So it actually suggests readers run a scenario, Stephen.
Yes, it poses a simple but powerful question. If your portfolio dropped by 20%, what would that mean for your retirement? Would you still be comfortable? Would your plan still work?
Because the consequences can be significant if the answer to that is no.
They can be. The last thing you want is to retire feeling confident, only to have a market correction throw everything off course. At best, that could mean scaling back your lifestyle. At worst, it could mean having to return to work.
And since no one knows what 2026 will bring, preparation matters.
Yes, it does. Here's a summary. If your portfolio can't withstand a hit, it may make sense to keep grinding a little longer, not out of fear, but to give your plan more resilience.
So once the financial side starts to come into focus, it may be time to shift to a question that's a lot harder to quantify, which is whether you're actually ready to leave your job.
Such a good question. Even when the numbers line up, retirement is still a major emotional transition. For a lot of people, work has been where they've invested time, energy, and identity over many years. Letting go of that isn't always easy.
Yes, and purpose. And people fall all over the spectrum there too.
They do. And for some, their profession is closely tied to their sense of purpose and self-worth. For others, it's more of a, see you later, I'm ready for the next chapter. And if you're truly done with the job, not done with life, just done with the job, that can be a meaningful signal.
Yeah, but that still leaves the question of what comes next. Do you have a crystal ball?
Yeah, well, there's a simple but critical follow-up. Do you know how you're going to spend your time? Retiring without a clear plan for your days can lead to boredom and dissatisfaction. If you don't have an answer there yet, it may be worth hitting pause until you do.
And the same idea applies to spending money, not just having it. And Stephen, that's my least favorite word, budget.
Yeah, you nailed it. Knowing that you have enough money is one thing. Knowing how you'll spend it is another. Without a real income plan, you're not ready. And that plan can't just be a spreadsheet fantasy.
Especially early on.
Yeah, the first 5 years of retirement are particularly vulnerable. Before you retire, you need clarity around which accounts you'll tap first and why. When you plan to claim Social Security, how withdrawals are handled from a tax perspective, and how your portfolio is positioned to deal with inflation and a down market.
That early window can really set the tone.
It sure does. Another critical checkpoint is whether your investments are generating more income than you need. If the interest and dividends from your portfolio can cover your expenses, that's a strong sign of readiness.
Because then you won't necessarily be forced to sell in a bad market.
That's correct. Spending principal in a down market can introduce real risk. But if your income needs are met by what your investments generate, the principal can remain intact, fluctuating year to year, but typically rising over the long term.
Well, healthcare is another major box people really cannot ignore.
Oh, that's definitely true. A 65-year-old who plans to retire soon is expected to spend approximately $172,500 on healthcare costs. That includes Medicare, which generally covers about 80%, but it doesn't account for emergencies or long-term care, which can add tens of thousands of dollars more.
Wow. It's not just budgeting, Stephen. It's scenario testing.
That's right. Planning how you'll cover out-of-pocket healthcare costs and testing different scenarios to understand what you can afford is a critical step before leaving the workforce.
So, and if someone is still unsure after all of that, Stephen?
Well, talking through your plan with a financial advisor is often helpful. Getting another set of eyes on your strategy can help confirm whether it's designed to last 20 years or more, and whether it's resilient against inflation, market declines, and unexpected medical expenses.
Wow, which really brings the whole checklist full circle here.
That's right, it does. Retirement readiness isn't one decision. It's a series of confirmations that your strategy, your finances, and your expectations are all aligned.
Absolutely. Well, Stephen, this has been an excellent show. Anything else before we conclude today's episode?
As always, if you have questions about retirement and your financial strategy, visit us at veritywealthgroup.com or call us at 626-650-9486. We'd love to help you protect your savings and feel confident about the road ahead.
All right. Well, thank you, Stephen. And thank you, listeners, for joining us for another episode of Verity Wealth Report with our host, Stephen Ting.
Join us soon for another great episode of the Verity Wealth Report. Take care.
Thank you for joining us for Verity Wealth Report. Don't head into retirement without a plan for both your finances and your health. For more information, contact Stephen Ting at Verity Wealth Group at 626-650-9486 or visit veritywealthgroup.com. Join us again soon for another episode of Verity Wealth Report.
Stephen Ting offers investment advisory services through Gradient Advisors, LLC, Arden Hills, Minnesota, 877-885-0508, and SEC, Registered Investment Advisor. Gradient Advisors, LLC, and its advisors do not render tax, legal, or accounting advice. Verity Wealth Group is not a registered investment advisor and is independent of Gradient Advisors, LLC. Insurance products and services offered through Stephen Ting, independent agent. Verity Wealth Group, Stephen Ting, and Gradient Advisors, LLC are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration or any government agency.
All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. We are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration, the Federal Medicare Program, or any other government agency. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed sales agent.